A couple years ago, there was this Talmud in Leva Torah, Mitchell Honig. He's done a trip now in the summer around like the world. And Mitchell was always one of those Talmidim. He kept you on the edge of your seat because you actually had to be careful what you said. Because like 3 years later, he'll still quote things that I say. I feel like I don't get that anymore. So maybe I'm just here for everyone's entertainment. It does make me wonder why I have to prepare. But, you know, after Ethan was like, you know, kind of trying to say things that I said last week, this past week, it got me thinking that maybe, like in 2 years, while Ethan's still figuring out, am I in YU, am I in Rutgers, am I in Columbia, am I in Hebrew U, like whatever he's trying to figure out what's going on in his life, maybe Ethan will tell me some of the stuff that I may have said. Came here 2 weeks ago. We said we had over 2 weeks. Now we have, 30 hours from now will be, it'll be mincha for Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's mamish here. We've spoken about a few ideas. We're going to speak a little bit about tefillah. You know, why not? Tefillah is a big crux of what we have coming up. The Shari Tshuva, he's one of the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch. He brings down in Simon Tav Reish Samach Dalet, 664, he brings down there, that's Hilchos Hoshana Rabbah. As you were thinking now also, Hoshana Rabbah is literally going to be here tomorrow.
Yes.
Mamash me tomorrow. It's going to be Hoshana Rabbah for Mo with Bekesha going crazy during the fest we'll have up in the Sukkah. He brings down this 5 days during the course of the year, once was Dan Vasikin. I personally think it's actually a mistake. And he actually meant to say 365, but the three and the six got deleted, and it only had five. Okay, but you know, we'll go that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Shari Tshuva only believe there's 5 days in the year, once was Dan Vasikin. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, Purim and Tisha B'Av. We know that when one davens, for though they were Rosh Hashanah best speech, I'm not like him. I wake up early, but I don't wake up at crazy hours like him. But one of the reasons we know that you know, if you can't daven Vasikin, you can't daven Vasikin. But Vasikin's definitely the ideal time that one should daven during the day, and really we should be doing that every day. But the Shari Tshuva brings down the 5 days one's supposed to do that. Now, don't take out of it. You should daven Vasikin. You should daven Yeshiva. You should not have like Recharnov and Rabot go on escapade. Why there were 15, 20 guys decided, you know, no, we're not supposed to daven the Yeshiva. You guys are davening at a buffoonish hour of 7:30. We're supposed to daven earlier at Vasikin. No, don't do that. But Rosh Hashanah is one of the days. So why is it one of those days? Because Rosh Hashanah is a very, very special day of tefillah. And Vasikin is a very, very special time for tefillah. So when you have the two and two together, you know, it brings it to ultimate levels. Like if you have a really, really good offense, what do? You go get more guys on offense because it goes from being good to great. You try to make good being great. So Vasikin's great, Rosh Hashanah is great, and together you're supposed to do that. So obviously tefillah is very, very important. It doesn't mean if you don't daven Vasikin Rosh Hashanah, you might as well sleep in and wake up at 1 o'clock and go out to lunch wherever you're going. No, you should daven wherever you're going to daven. But the power of tefillah. You might think, you know, if I was to like, you know, invent the wheel, you'd be like, God, you know, you're cute, God. Sometimes girls are cute, sometimes God is cute, whatever, sometimes babies are cute, you know, there's a lot of cute things. God, you're cute. You did this whole idea, you created this whole Rosh Hashanah model. It's a nice idea. But God, you know, tefillah? What are we doing tefillah? Let's make it a day of Torah. Let's have like a whole day of learning. God, okay, maybe, you know, some people, they can't sit for more than a half a second. Why are we making a day? I was going to say your name. I don't want to embarrass you 30 hours of Rosh Hashanah. You did the job by yourself, though. You were Yosef for me, so thank you. Chesed, let's make it a day of Chesed. Why is it all about tefillah? Why is it all about tefillah? But one thing we know for sure is since Rosh Hashanah is all about tefillah, we have to have that mentality that it's actually a day that we should design for tefillah. I once heard many years ago that there's a time and place for everything. One of the faults our generation has is we're always trying to do everything all at the same time. You know, I had a tekufa where I tried to brush my teeth in the shower. Now the problem when you brush your teeth in the shower is your eyes are closed, you can't really see, you're getting toothpaste in your eyes, the whole disaster. But why would I try? Okay, some people can be more coordinated than me and can probably actually do it. But why was I trying to do it? Because I had to save time. Now, I don't live into the dentist, I don't floss, and I don't brush my teeth for 2 minutes. So I think I have 40 seconds available, you know, at some point to be able to do. But why do we have to do that? Because that's how we live life. Our life is always about, let me do this, let me do that. You know, if I can bench while also walking the dog, while also checking the schedule, while also going to see if Azriel's dad is home, like, I can get all four of these things all done all at the same time. Geschmack. But we never focus on one thing. Rosh Hashanah. Tefillah l'chud. Alone. Only focus on tefillah. Make tefillah really, really matter. Really dive in. Don't just say the words. Do more than say the words. Know what we're actually saying, because Rosh Hashanah has incredible, incredible kochos for tefillah. One of the biggest struggles I face, I'm sure you all face, and one of the hardest things to do with davening is, you know, we feel that, like, you know, sometimes we feel God, you know, it's like, sometimes we feel God is like us in like a high school version, like, you know, take out the guard, okay, like you know, half out, and like there's no such thing as saying no. Like everything I'm going to ask for is going to be a yes. So I come to God, and like, you know, I decide, like, I need big things. I need really, really big things. And I come and I show up to God, and like, you know, I'm totally, totally focused. Like nothing about, you know, my team going to win the Super Bowl. Nothing about am I going to win the Dungeons and Dragons contest. Nothing about, I don't know, if Power Rangers are coming back, or is a Barbie movie going to break, you know, $100 million on their first day? Nothing about Paw Patrol and Shark Tank and Baby Shark, you know, nothing about that. I come to God with real things. I ask God for real, real, real things. I don't know, God. I went to Leiva Torah. They told me about the army. Does it make any sense? I'm a yeshivish guy. I grew up where actually they would have said the army was like, it's like Saturn. They would have blown up the army. Now I have these ideas. I came to Leiva Torah. I should do the army. I don't know, God. Is the army for me? Is it for me? God, am I really supposed to go to Machon Leiv, or should I actually pay for Shana Bet tuition? God. Whoa. God, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go to college? What am I supposed to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life? I actually ask God for real, real, real things. And you know what happens? I don't get the answers I needed. I don't always get the answers I need. Like, you know, we should never know of it. I'm going to hopefully, you know, go out on a limb and say that, you know, every one of you were your parents' child, which means by definition your parents had a child, but you can't take that for granted nowadays either. But, you know, you have people who never are blessed with children. They're never blessed with children. Sometimes people have struggles, sometimes people never have children. And, you know, you come out for 20 years in a row, you keep asking God for I want a child. I keep asking, God, give me a child. You know, you do every segula, every rabbi, whatever I need to do. And God doesn't answer you. And you have every right to be ticked off. You have every right to be like, God, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm showing up. I'm not just saying words. I'm feeling it. I'm on fire. I'm literally on fire. I don't even realize. I just stood up for all Chazaras Hashas. God, you know how hard it is for our generation? We can't stand for more than 4 seconds. Look what I just did for you. I even stood up for Slichos, and I'm Ashkenazi. I don't like it. No, I even did that. God, I'm giving you so much, and you're giving me nothing. You're giving me nothing. And it's fair. It's fair. No one can say right to you. No one can say to you, oh, no, that can make a good point. And Rav Pinkus has a whole shtickle on this. He has a whole idea on this. Sometimes we have to mature, we have to grow up, and we have to realize that God doesn't work like that. You know, it's not where I go to New Delhi and I put in my credit card and I put in all the things I want, and then 4 minutes later they say Merrill, and you know, you go and you take home your meal. God doesn't work like the restaurant. He's not always going to answer you, but they're the bank. They're the bank of tefillahs. There's a bank, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is storing our tefillos. And we have no idea what it might be able to do. I had a Shabbos guest last week. He was telling me, they just made Aliyah, his wife's afraid to drive to the Gush. Okay, I've gotten over it. It happens to be the only time I ever see Arab license plates are when I go to the Gush. I'm pretty sure I could be in Ramallah and not see it, but like, somehow going on the Gush on those roads, you're able to see it. And she's like very afraid to do it. And then he told me his cousin's like a big army guy, and Neve Shamir, like right here, all they're doing is building. They recently found, don't get afraid, because this is life, and but they recently found like an underground thing. And okay, you might want to leap to this. I don't want you to not to be able to sleep tonight. They found like a lot of explosives that were like that the Arabs who were building had put underneath the ground. And Neve Shamir cross the street from me. Literally across the street from me is Neve Shamir, and they found that. What? What God? This is Ramat Beit Shemesh. The Arabs don't know about Ramat Beit Shemesh. They just come here to work. That's not on their map. Like, we're not the Gush. We're not near you. They don't even know about us. Like, we're so safe. But something could have happened. So how did that happen? How did they find it? How were we able to find it? Because one day, Eli Hirsch, because the davening was like really, really important. He was davening to Hashem for like really, really important. And Hashem might not have answered it. He might not have answered Eli's tefillah. Instead, he saved Neve Shamir. Because we don't know. There's a whole bank. Our tefillahs really matter. If we're going to always think, oh, but I didn't get an answer. I didn't get the exact thing I needed. Oh, I asked, I want to marry this girl. But you wanted to marry this girl. But little did you know that this girl's clinically insane. And she's going to make your life a living hell. And you're literally the happiest day of your life will be your funeral. And Hashem is sparing you of this, yet you have a tithe on God that he kept you away from that. Because we have no idea. We have no idea. But our tefillahs really matter. And I said last week, I'm hoping, maybe it'll be one of you. I said last week, I hate the question. How is Rosh Hashanah? I hate that question. It's a stupid question. How is Rosh Hashanah? It's a stupid question. Why is it a stupid question? Because when do you ask people the question? On Rosh Hashanah. It's a stupid question. But what if tomorrow I ask Israel, how was Rosh Hashanah last year? Now you can give an educated answer. You went through your whole year. Hopefully tomorrow I won't be able, there's a million things I need to do tomorrow. Hopefully I won't even be able to get into the mikvah because all I'll be doing all day is fielding questions from people. How was your Rosh Hashanah last year? Okay, you got to think about it. Because now I can really answer. Because the day really matters. Everything's being determined for the year. You guys are at like a big stage of your life. Like you're not wearing diapers anymore. You're in a big stage of your life. You're growing up. It's being answered. We have Shabbos and Sunday. It's being answered. What's going to happen in the next year is being answered. We went away on Hanukkah with our closest friends in Israel. We went away on Hanukkah. She was pregnant. And a month later, gets diagnosed she has cancer. Baruch Hashem, she's gone through chemo and is in, you know, I don't know exactly how it works, but she's gone through all the stages and is totally fine. They only found out she had cancer because she was pregnant. Otherwise, she would have no idea. She went to a doctor to tell me the pregnancy, and they found the tumor. And as Hashem, she'll be fine. Last Rosh Hashanah, totally, totally healthy person. Not a person on a deathbed for 20 years. Totally, totally healthy person. We have no idea. Now, that's not to say, oh, you could have died, that it could have been different. You got to look at it the other way. Maybe it was her tefillah that are what saved her. Because Hashem knew it was going to happen. We have no idea what's in store for us. The only thing that we do know is that on Rosh Hashanah, it really, really matters. You have, as we said last week, we have to bring our very best. And we have to make sure that we're prepared for it. Because we're going through... Close the door. We're going through days that really matter. You know, there's many things. We're gonna eventually, 120. You know, I'm a little older than you guys, so it'll be sooner for me than for you guys. But at 120, Hashem's going to ask us a lot of things. And one of the things, I really don't believe Hashem's going to ask us, like, why don't you know Kol HaTorah Kula? I'm like, Hashem, I don't know Kol HaTorah Kula because you know my brain. You know the world you put me in. Could I put in more effort? Sure. Could I know more? Sure. But, you know, you had me grow up in Jamaica States. You didn't have me grow up in B'nai Brak. You didn't have me know, like, what learning was at any level until I was 18. You know, you gave me the brain that you gave me. Like, you know, what do you want from me? But I think God will ask me, one of the questions he will ask is, why don't you daven better? And I won't have a good answer for that. Because davening better is not contingent upon the level of my brain. It's not contingent. Like, I can't remember all of Torah. I just can't. Can I know more? Of course. But I can't know everything. But I can daven better. I can change the outcome of my life. I can change the outcome of my children's life. Because I can put more into tefillah. And the saddest thing is, and definitely for myself, I daven. I go to Minyan. I pray. I pray three times a day. At least if you never do it, you never do it. But how pathetic will it be when God's going to call me out on something I'm doing? Call me out on things I don't do. Okay, I didn't do it. Okay, what do you want from me? God tells me, you know, you didn't do Mayim Achronim. Okay, I didn't do Mayim Achronim. Call me out of something I didn't do. But don't call me out on something I'm doing anyway. I'm devoting time. I'm not even going to, like, and I don't even go to a fast minyan. You know, at least then I could have like the Olam Hazit benefit of like not being stuck in davening for a long time. I'm there for so long. And Hashem will ask me, why wasn't it different? Why wasn't it different? And perhaps each and every one of us will be asked that. Okay? Every day, that's really, really hard. Davening every day, being into it every single day. You know, I don't know. Ellie, we saw the video that in May time. Can you do that every day? Can you be an energizer buddy every day? Maybe for a 3-day competition, you know, trying to get on a boat, you're able to. Every day? Okay. Rosh Hashanah is only 2 days. 6, you know, 8 tefillos, counting Musaf. We could probably give Hashem a little more. There's a Gemara in Ksubis. The Rebbe was on the verge of dying. And Rebbe ended up dying. And Chachamim were goat, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. The Chachamim were goat, they're a tainus. Goat, they're a fast. Okay, makes sense. Then the Chachamim came out and said a very, very wild thing. They said, anyone who tells anyone Rebbe died, spear him in the heart. Okay? Okay? Kill the person. Meshita Mikubetsa said, I get it. A fast. I get it. Fast. But why am I killing someone? Why would I kill you because you said that? So what's happening? You know, anyone, you ever in a position, let's say you have a grandparent that's sick, or Rahman's son, a parent, the relative, you know, close relative, you're davening, you're saying Tehillim. You're saying Tehillim. I remember that. I remember my grandma saying Tehillim, get the message, my grandfather died. Stop saying Tehillim on the spot. He's dead. Okay? I said my Tehillim, whatever it did, but he died. The Chachamim said, the power of our tefillah when Rebbe was sick, we could have brought Chias and Mason. If we tell everyone that Rebbe's dead, you know, it's the same thing. It wasn't so different back then. They would all stop davening. And the potential to bring Chias and Mason would be done. I am going to kill you if you take that away. The power of tefillah, like, remember that. The power of tefillah is so, so strong. And the power of tefillah, and the real, when people say, I have to daven by myself. You know, I get it. I get davening by myself. Like, I, you know, during COVID, like, you know, I really felt it. Like, you're in, like, a very, very different place. You know, like, you're you know, you're not distracted. You're not hearing the hummer or the guy who's, like, shaking on his seat. And, like, he doesn't realize that the chair is, like, making that sound because, you know, it's missing a part and it's, like, super annoying. He's like the only one who doesn't realize it, and it's beyond annoying. Like, when you're in your own house, like, you can do whatever you want. You could be jumping, you could be yelling, it's just you. You're not disrupting anyone. I get it. But the power of tefillah b'sivur, when you're together, what you're able to do, understand, like, what your tefillahs can do. Your tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah can really be the cause of whatever's happening in the world. There can be big, big things that are going on in the world that you have the power. Even Burke has the power to eliminate, to end. Like, it's not like, all right. You know, you ever watch Kaplan Davin? I know why I picked my makom in the base netters, but I didn't realize it means I don't see you when I'm davening. You know how much I'm missing out here? My mincha hasn't been the same. Besides the fact that the guys near me don't show up. But notwithstanding that, not seeing you daven, you know what you could do on Rosh Hashanah? You know how much could be going on in the world that you could be changing. You have the power to change so much. So much has happened in the last year. So much happened the year before. So much happened the year before that. But we have, like, the real, real power, you know, to change. You know, I remember probably about maybe like Rosh Hashanah time of 2022. So what would that be? I guess that would be last year. May 2021 at some point. I'm watching my son at the Kotel. And, like, he like really, really was into it. He's 8 now, so I don't know, 6 or 7 times. He was really, really into it. And, you know, like, I'm like trying to sneak in, like, what's he saying? Like, I don't know, maybe he understands Hebrew better than me. Like, what's his connection with God? And he's telling God, end COVID. Like, we need it to be over. We need normalcy. It's like 6 or 7. Like, yeah, we need that to be over. I'm like watching that. Is it such a coincidence that, like, right after that, in Israel, they start getting rid of, like, no more of this Narish guy, the person in your class test positive, now you can't show up to school anymore? They got rid of that rule here? Like, right after that field, they're like, no, oh, because the government said no. Because Binyamin Merrill decides, the government, what do they know? What do they know? Because Binyamin Merrill decided, you know, he was at the Kotel, he was at the holiest of places, and him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like right there. The Shekhinah and him, they're literally on top of each other. No, not even thinking of Nikia. Totally, totally on top of each other. In the zone. Dabbing for that, our tefillahs matter. Whatever it might be. Individually, globally, nationally, they really, really do matter. A chaval. If Rosh Hashanah ends and we look back and be like, oh, what could have been? Well, we'll see what could have been because we'll have the year and we'll see what will happen in our year. So perhaps the joke will be on us. But what a chaval. Like, we just couldn't give a little more. A little more. I couldn't give a little extra time. A little extra time for Mincha. You know, if we miss the first song that Rasiv's going to do during Chazaras HaShas, if we decide to give a few more minutes to our Shmoneh Esrei, the world will go on. The world will go on. You'll get a song in. You'll get a song in. Focus on your feeling. I know it's hard. I say it myself. I have a very, very hard time focusing. I'm all over the place. I can only get my work day done by taking at least 2 20-minute walks during the course of the day. Like, I'm with you. Like, we're like basically one. We're kamat basically one. We're like three. Something like that. Our tefillahs matter. Don't leave with the regret. Oh, what could have been? If I had just done a little more. Have powerful tefillahs. It's a day of tefillah. Make your tefillahs matter. That doesn't mean you shouldn't learn 1 minute of Rosh Hashanah either. That would be horrible as well. But make your tefillahs matter. You have all of them. Starts tomorrow with Maariv. Focus. Say every word. Say it slowly. Look in the English if you have to. You still have a little over a day. Maybe look at the tefillahs beforehand. Know what you're going to say. Come in prepared and daven with all your might and understand that there are a lot of people in this room, in that room, and all over a lot of different rooms right now, that each and every one of you have the power to change what's in store for them. Make it great. You all definitely have the potential. And as I said, it's almost less pathetic if you're sleeping through Rosh Hashanah, then if you're being there and just flying through davening, because then in May of Esther, Hashem's going to ask you, you were there. Like, why didn't you give it your all when you were there? Okay, you're not there. Like, there's nothing we can do. If you're not a player, you're not a player. But once you're in the game, be a player and give it your very best. Have a Shana Tova. Shana Tova to each and every one of you.